Ventnor City Commission meeting, October 10, 2019.
Call to order. Please rise from flag salute. Chief Cahill, will you please lead us?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Lisa, can I have a roll call, please?
Commissioner Kriebel?
Here.
Commissioner Langria?
Here.
Mayor Holtzman?
Here. Pursuant to the Open Public Meeting Act, adequate notice of this meeting has been provided in accordance with the law. Tonight, before we get into our workshop portion, we do have two presentations. The first one is Leon Costello from Fort Scott, and he's going to discuss our recent bond sale.
Okay, so real quickly, what you have in front of you is a packet of information that from the bond sale we just completed. If you remember, in 2017, you did a bunch of ordinances that were going to fund different projects, and we talked about when we would fund them with the bond sale and what was going to happen and how it's going to affect the taxpayers, et cetera, et cetera. The first one, this one, is your rating report, which your rating was increased. You're now double A. There's double A plus and triple A. It's only two that are left to go from where you stand right now. So that's a report that was handed out by Standard & Poor's. The next piece is the actual bond sale results itself. You had seven bidders, and your interest rate was 1.98, and the highest one was 2.18. So under 2% for $13 million worth of bonds is extremely good. Yeah, we're really happy with that. It's a great rate. The next thing is the official statement, which shows that even though we sold $13,180,000 worth of bonds, well, we only have to pay back $12,700,000 because we got a premium. So we get all the money, but we don't have to pay all the money back. Another good thing. The next long sheet was what we talked about in various meetings back in 2017. And the sheet after that shows you where we stand now. It's almost identical. We did have one thing that we had to overcome. The prior administration borrowed $5 million, and $2.2 million of it was not eligible cost. You have to pay that back. And we factored that in our plan. That was a deviation from what we had in 17, but we've accomplished that very successfully. The last page is all the sales that I've had since June 27th, and you can see that there's a lot of ones and some very low twos. The market's been fabulous, and we were very fortunate to be in this market this time, and you've got a great rate, and our plan is still intact going forward. You have a great rating, you have a great rate. We've funded what we needed to fund, and we're gonna have, you'll see on there, projects a couple more sales, just like we talked about before, in the upcoming years to fund the rest of the projects, and we're 100% on track. So that was the results.
Thank you.
Great job, Leon.
Great.
And again,
thank
you.
I think I read that S&P report three or four times. I feel like keep a great report card, but a lot of it is due to the conservative decision making that we made and some of the programs the three of us tried to initiate over the last 3 years.
You've accomplished a ton in 3 years, yeah.
With guidance from you guys.
Thanks.
Yourself, John Santalupo, our bond counsel, and Al helping him. You've only been here for a while, but I think you've made an impact. All staff. This was a team effort, all across the board.
With a great result. A
really great result. That was one of the happiest documents I had ever opened up when I got this.
I've read it several times.
Yeah.
Thank you, Maria, for the end.
A lot of constellation things. The rebound, being at the right time, all the increase in the added over periods of time.
Contracts have done.
Contracts going.
Many decisions you made in the building.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thanks, Leon.
You sure you don't want to stay with us?
You did it in 5 minutes.
I'll wait till
you can have Dennis.
Okay.
Our next presentation is our county executive, and our business administrator, Maria, will leave her seat, and we will give it to county administrator, county executive, Denny Levinson. And just for the people who are here that maybe you are unaware, we decided a little while back that we would have a legislative session series, and we would invite all the legislators of our area, where we reached out to them, let them know what we were doing, and gave them our schedule, and they picked when they wanted to come. So this is Denny happens to be our first one. He picked tonight, and I'm not sure when we have other ones scheduled. Some of them even scheduled into January of 2020. So he's here to talk about the county and the residents here. If you're here, you have questions. He's ours for a little while. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for inviting me. It, those of you that don't know me, I was raised in Bethel on Swarthmore Avenue in Bethel. I lived at 19 South Swarthmore next to Dr. Harry Sweeney. I don't know if you remember him. Dr. Holy Spirit, just an extraordinary individual. And, you know, you're always a Bethel boy. I don't care where you go. If you're from Bethel, you're from Bethel, and that's for the rest of your life. And I'm very, very proud of it. It's a great town, you know, possibly, I will say this. This is the most extraordinary city hall of any municipality in the county, very possibly throughout all the South Jersey. I haven't been in all of them. I haven't been in every city hall in Atlanta County, and this is extraordinary. We should be very, very proud of it. Leon was talking about the bond ratings. You know, our bond rating is also extraordinary here in Atlanta County, which allows us to do some wonderful things with your money sometimes and without your money. Just for an example, Stockton College, Stockton University. We are the only, ladies and gentlemen, this is Amy Gatto, the chairman of the
Board of Freeholders,
and the first female chairman of the Board of Freeholders in Atlanta County's history. You're the second female mayor.
Yep.
I called Dr. Kesselman, who is the president of the university, and I said, why don't you meet me on the old Atlantic City site? And he said, what's going on? I said, let's talk about what we're going to do in the future. So I said, this is an excellent spot for the university. We don't have any money right now. We're tied up in showboat. Remember that fiasco?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The money just wasn't there. Mm-hmm. The state of New Jersey could not finance the university coming to Atlantic City because their bond rating was reduced 11 times during the Christie administration. Mm-hmm. 11 times the rating went down, which, by the way, is a historical record in the United States. So I said, look, I've got the money. I'll be willing to put it up. All you have to do is agree, and let's get this thing moving. Which, by the way, we did, without one single cent of taxpayer money. It was successful. We took a chance. And I know some people said, well, how difficult was that? Well, it was very difficult. Now, when you stop and consider that those bonds are going to be backed by these students living in the dormitories, you know, what assurance are you going to have that the students or the parents, excuse me, we're going to want their kids there? Well, guess what? There's no overflow, and there's still a waiting list to get in there. It's a bonanza for downtown Atlantic City, and also it's going to spill over to Bethany. It will be symbiotic. Atlantic City is now a university town. We're the only county that ever financed the expansion of a state university in the country. Why can we do it? Because of our frugality through the years. We have an extraordinary team of financial wizards. In fact, I'm looking back there at Tate, who was once the, when I came on, he was the treasurer. And he was still using an adding machine, by the way, but which was a step up because he started out with an abacus. This is just a progression of where we are. Our bonding capacity is 0.457%, which is an extraordinary number, which means nothing to you all unless you make a relative. When I taught school, I would tell the kids that, you know, that musket was deadly at 200 yards. What does that mean? It means that's 2 football fields laid end on end. And how do you get it? Well, if we want to put things into the relative with Atlantic City, Atlantic City is at 14.5%. We're at 0.457%, just to put it in perspective in your mind how good shape this county is. We've had a perfect audit for the 20th time in a row, coincidentally, this is my 20th year. We switch auditors every 3 years, which means, you know, you're not checking your own work. You all remember when you were in school, you know, you could check your own papers. You always made that little T into an F, true or false. Always seem to do better when you check your own papers. So we switch auditors every 3 years, and we still come up with perfect audits. Now that's for a budget that's over $200 million. Couldn't find anything wrong. And when you have auditors, which, yeah, I'm going to tell you, it's very competitive, they're not too crazy about each other. And if they can find an error in their competitor's work, they would like to. That's how tight your government is. And I'm extraordinarily proud of what we've done with that. Now, there's some other things that we've done that we're very proud of. Number one, keeping the tax rate as low as we possibly can keep it, even though we had a return. About $7 million a year to Atlantic City because of their over-assessments of the casino properties. And with that, your tax rate of all the county executives in the state of New Jersey were the lowest here in Atlantic County. It's something I'm very proud of. And you know, it's not competitive, it just happens to be that way. We have an extraordinary workforce. People work very, very hard day in and day out to make sure that we have quality services. Our meals on wheels are congregate meals, services that we give to people. That we're really a safety net for so many people in the county. People that truly are in need. Our adult protective services, looking on people. And we're looking at thousands of meals a year, 365 days a year. And sometimes that's the only bit of human kindness these individuals have is when our delivery people come into their homes. And it doesn't, and of course, they alert us if there's a difficulty and we set out the services that they may need. What we try to do is think outside the box. You all have been around this county and down the shore. You know forever we've been talking about diversifying the economy. Gee, we have to have something else. We need an industry. We need to do something. After all, we can't continually rely on the 3 or 4 month economy that's just based on tourism. And look what happens if things do go south. When we had Hurricane Sandy and 5 casinos closed and 11,000 people were thrown out of work, it gave me an opportunity to do what I've always dreamed of doing, starting another industry. Well, how do you start another industry when things are going so well? Don't waste our money. My thought process was to put up an aviation park. We have the premier testing facility in the world at the FAA. And we're used to having it there. You know, we've talked about the fighter wing, but it is an extraordinary facility. And people come from all over the world to visit it and see what their accomplishments are. And we also have a terribly underutilized international airport. Why not tie the two of them together with an aviation park? So the idea was, we're going to build one. An when I went around to get people to be interested, investors, and it was, it had some pretty heavy hitters. And they would say to me, oh, well, that seems like a good idea. You're going to build this thing. I don't know what I want to invest in. Who are your prospective tenants? And we don't have it. Well, how do you know they're going to get rent? I believe we're going to take a chance. I believe it will occur. But this is the first real estate market in the country right now. You've been devastated by a superstorm. You're leading the company in foreclosures. Five casinos have closed. Who in the world is going to invest in this? I said, it's almost like, you know, you build it and they'll come. And I remember making a comment to somebody, I'll stake my future on this. And somebody in my staff close to me said that you're also staking our tax money on this. So it was a gamble. And we put up the first building with no tenants. And then we even made things more difficult for ourselves. We restricted any prospective tenants that had to be involved in Arizona. Because we did have people that were interested. Yeah, we went to Class A office space, we would be interested. What are you doing? Well, I'm selling gifts. Well, you can't come. You have to be involved in Arizona. To make a long story short, full capacity. Thunderbolt's in there, General Dynamics is in there. We're going to start on a second building. We hope there's going to be about seven by the time it's over. When we broke ground for this, we had 300 people. Many of them were very, very suspicious. Didn't get a whole lot of money or anything from the state, but the governor was there, former Governor Florio was there, President Sweeney was there, Ambassador Hughes, it was quite a time. This is the future, ladies and gentlemen. This is good, solid jobs. They're not jobs polishing brass or working in the casinos. Look, I'm not knocking it, but these are good, solid jobs at six figures, and we're going to make a difference. We're tying it into the airport at this present time, and they're excited about the future of aeronautics. What this state has to do is understand that other states that have interested in what we're doing dump a pile of money. Oklahoma, Virginia, Bristol, Virginia, and that's good. Between Bristol, Tennessee, and Virginia, you ever been there? And stuff over in both states. They're putting a fortune in trying to attract people to come. We're doing it here ourselves as a county, which is basically unheard of. But we are in that good a position financially that we can do it. When I tell people what our debt capacity is, I think we're looking at close to almost $1 billion. So we can spread out if we wish to, but at the same time to remain extremely frugal with tax money. So the future of this county is extremely bright, as long as we keep our eye on the ball and understand that if you're going to get things done, you have to start thinking a little bit outside the box. And just those two things stopping in, and of course, developing the aviation park. And I don't know if anybody said, gee, they developed a building. No, we developed an industry. There's a big difference there. People will come here. They will be buying homes. They will be going to our stores, our restaurants, the drive-thrus. It will make a difference. You know, I was here when the FAA came in. You could always tell who the FAA people were. You know, they always seemed more educated than many of us were here in South Jersey. A little more pompous still, if you remember those days. but they were committed. They were committed to an industry that is the future. I mean, it is that industry that puts us on the moon. And we're going to be a part of it. And I believe all we might have been here if it wasn't for a few setbacks that they had. We're discussing with the largest corporations in the world to come in here and see if they would be interested. The premier aeronautical university in the world is here looking to train our students
I've met with every superintendent of school in the county, talked to them the importance of changing curriculum to start teaching science, technology, engineering, math. This is the future. I'm sorry, I didn't mention it. It's Emeryville, for those of you that are wondering which university I'm speaking of. For them to be interested and to fly up here and talk to us, it's extraordinary where we are right now. We're on the cusp of something extremely important. And it's not an easy lift. And I'm going to tell you why. You're in a state with the highest taxes in the country. How do you induce industry to come in here? You know, there's a fight now between Murphy and the Camden Democrats and the Norcross Democrats over how the state should be run. You know, you have to look at it. When people, what are they giving these tax incentives for? But you have to give tax incentives. How are you going to get people to come in here? At least after 5 years or 10 years, whatever the deal, they'll be paying taxes. But at least it brings them in. And it's symbiotic. If they're there, maybe we'll come in. This is the highest tax state in the country. That's not a strong selling point. And I don't know about y'all, but I do know this. It gets a little tiring when somebody retires in New Jersey. And then they tell you when they come up to visit, or you visit them. You take them a tour of my house on the lake. It's 4 bedrooms, 3 bathrooms, and I'm paying $600 a year in taxes. How many times have you heard that?
Many.
You said it. Now, what I'm doing here, my dad always told me, you know, be around smart people, son, because you're not the sharpest stack in the box. And I've taken that. And, you know, he's a wise man. They always say, you want people around you that are smarter than you are. And that's what I try to do, the people that I've hired. I don't need anybody that I have to tell what to do. I want them telling me what we ought to be doing. And that's why we've been successful here in this county. I don't pull rank on anybody. I want to hear what they have to say, and let's go forward with it. That's how you get success. And this is why this county, by the way, we've given back to Atlantic City $78 million. This is in every one of our budgets, except this year. We only have to give back $300,000 for 11. We're in the top 18% of 3,000 counties in the country. Now that's pretty good for little old Atlantic County here in this section of the world, in New Jersey. And who says that? Standard & Poor's and Moody's, the rating organizations. So we believe we're on a pretty good ride right now. I want to continue it. I just want to sound political right now. And, you know, gee whiz, you've been there a long time, buddies. And that's the argument against it. You've been there a long time. I have been. And of course, if you look at the scheme of things, how long is a long time? But if you have a good employee, why would you want to change? If you have a decent gardener that has done his job and is there all the time, why would you want to switch? Why would you want to switch your plumber, your electrician, your beautician, your barber, if they're serving you well and doing a good job for you? Why do you want to switch? Now, outside of my family, this county comes, well, it's going to always come second. We're never going to come first. And that's it. Don't play golf. Don't run around. This is what I do. And, you know, under those circumstances, I haven't had a drink in 5 years. So, you know, what do you do? What do? I do what I love with my family and with my community. And you all been good to me throughout my life. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better upbringing than here in South Jersey. I love them. And the naysayers, you're going to hear them all the time. But you know what? They all come back. They all have standing issues. And when I talk to those people that are retired down south, what are you doing with yourself?
Oh, well, we go to breakfast?
Oh, yeah, we do after breakfast.
Oh, we go to lunch.
Wow, what a great day. How about after lunch? We decide where we're going for dinner. Right. And dinner, we decide where we're going to meet for breakfast. That's it. And in between, we go for a walk. So that's great.
And you go outside, oh, that's 200. So, I love it here. I love the state's climate. I love everything about it. Especially, I love y'all. And it's been my honor, my privilege to serve you through the years. And you have a county government that has been scandal-free, corruption-free. Being so close to the border, it's, you know, what are you going to meddle? You know, you're not there to go in the jail. Under the circumstances. We had one very popular mayor of Atlantic City, a very good guy, and didn't accomplish much. And when everybody says, oh, what do you do? Didn't go to jail. You know, when you lower the bar that much, that your success means that you haven't been indicted or gone to jail, you're not expecting too much. And, another story, I guess you've seen in the news, that I was asked by the Lieutenant Governor to serve on the task force for the Atlantic City taxes. She called me on the phone, and things were going so well in Atlantic County, we serve on the tax force. I said, sure will, what an honor, Lieutenant Governor, I really appreciate you calling me. A few days later, there's a press release out that I'm going to be in charge of the task force. So I really considered, well, this is great. And we got the budget in Atlantic City, and started looking at it. And then the next thing I know, I was no longer the chairman of the task force because some political individuals, I was going to say that, some political individuals complained that I shouldn't be there. And of course, I wasn't. And they formed a task force with the mayor, the president of the council, the administrator, the same people who got rid of this. I wouldn't have even been on that task force. I would have put tax assessors on there. I would have been financial analysts on there, people that have understand what finances are. And to get them out of that mess, and I said to Leon, coming up the steps, Atlantic City, when I had that budget when I was the head of that task force for about 12 hours, and looking at their budget, I looked at revenues. $192 million in revenues. Where does that come from? We have a whole county area, $52 million in revenue. Where is it coming from? Well, the state's pumping it in, as if they can afford to pump it into Atlantic City, Patterson, New York. You know, and you wonder why you're broke. And just a thought also, no matter who it is, they're doing something wrong, you tell them quietly. And if they don't listen, you're going to have to do something about it because you take an oath to the people. The Constitution of the United States and the state of New Jersey. And they came up with this stupid pilot program that was going to straighten out Atlantic City's taxes. And I've been along with it. Give us our percentage of taxpayers in the county, and I'll go along with it. It's dumb, but it's your city, do what you want. Well, they didn't put a percentage in for the county. And I said, where's our percentage? And the governor came down here to give a speech. And it was Michelle Post from the press, very extremely good reporter. And she said to the governor, the percentage isn't in there, governor, for the county. He said, it is in there. It's 13.5%. She said, it's not in there. It's in the summary, but it's not in the legislation. It is in there. When I give you my word, you can believe it. Then he knows. And by the way, we were thousands of times. Well, as it turns out, it was not in there. So I quietly said to them, hey, look, I wouldn't buy a car without the terms and conditions being completely laid out. Here's what your payments are going to be. Here's what your surrender is. Here's how much you're going to charge per mile. Where's the terms and conditions? You're going to have to trust. We'll give you 10.4% the first year. That's not happening. I'm going to take you to court. Well, you're going to lose. Well, I'll roll the dice. I got the best constitutional lawyer I could find in New Jersey. He was the dean of a law school at Seton Hall. And I hired him, and I said that I want to win this case, and I believe we have it laid to stand on. It can't be constitutional. So we went before the judge, no jury, and we laid out a case. And the judge did not want to make a determination, so he insisted that we settle. And we came back at 12%, no deal. 12.5, no deal. Okay, 13, no deal.
But I think you've got the 13.5%, which means $37 million to you. We won. They settled. Now, why did they settle? Because they could not roll the dice hoping that, or supposed we won.
Right.
What are you going to do now if we win? So consequently, they settled because they didn't want it to be declared unconstitutional. But they got a free ride, for at least a semi-free ride, for 10 years every time. Now, Atlantic City just had a tax increase. Every non-casino property owner in Atlantic City had to pay them, not the casinos. So, to show you how bizarre this is, you finish your basement, or you put a fence around your house, put a pool on, put a mother walls addition onto your house. Whatever you may do, you're going to pay extra taxes on it, as you know. Now, if the casinos can do whatever they want, they will not have a tax increase for the life of the property. That's unfair. I went up to Newark, I spoke to the governor, and we're going to have a problem. Well, no, you're going to have a problem. Especially the delightful man. You know, a guy with such brains, such charm, such charisma, that was it. And of course, spiteful. It could be very spiteful. You know, just to show you how spiteful, this was during the time when we broke ground with Stockton University. As long as this isn't going to be, you know, you're talking to secret. I don't want you to think that Jack is spiteful with a grown man that are elected to take care of billions of dollars in your tax money or spiteful. But as I told you earlier, it was our money that backed the bonds for stock. $127 million. But they all came down from Trenton for the groundbreaking. Governor was there, all the big Mahaffs, all the people in higher education, everybody from the Department of Education. People from other universities were there. Guess who didn't get a shovel with the groundbreaking? You're looking at it. I did get to give the speech at the ribbon cutting, so by that time, Christy was gone. But that's what was going on. And you stand up to power. And that's what I would tell my kids when I taught, when my kids growing up. You stand up to bullies. Don't ever, ever let them beat you. And you may not win them all, but at least you're going to go down fighting. We won this one. But state of New Jersey told you we got $37 million on the pot. But to win that case, everybody, it cost us $300,000 without a win. It beat that. Just the judge, who was Judge Mendez, the head of the dissident chair in the Atlanta case, our lawyers and their lawyers, and me. $300,000 we had to pay out. Well, you're not going to get tort reform in this state, are you? No. I'm going to tell you what, because the lawyers donate to political parties, but not your stuff. So, you know, in Texas, they changed it all around. You had tort reform. The doctors are moving back, the lawyers are moving out. You have loser pay in many cases over in England. They put together our legal system, as you all know. This country was founded on British law, and they realized, you know, these frivolous lawsuits going back and forth. Just an example, you saw in the paper, I was joined into that case. Dana Tyner, the prosecutor, was being sued. Did you see that in the paper? And they joined me, suing me. All I do is pay the prosecutor. I don't appoint him. He has hiring and firing is total and complete responsibility over there, but they decided they wanted to bring me into the case. So we said I shouldn't be in there. So we went to court and we won. It cost us $25,000 just for that hotel. Can't, you know, Levinson didn't do anything. He's out. $25,000 later, we're out. The system needs to be fixed. And how are you going to fix it? You're going to need people of goodwill. So when you vote, you make sure, who is this person? What have they done in their lives? What have they done to make society a better place? What have they given back? And they're the next questions you should ask yourself. Are they decent? Are they honest? And You could also throw in there intelligence. I'd rather have somebody that's decent than us. You know, if you don't know where, you can tell the kids in class all the time. But you don't have to know the answers, but you do have to know where to find them. And that was so easy. When's the last time anybody here has ever seen an encyclopedia? Look it up, the encyclopedia. What the hell is that? Just hit the G, that's all. Life is changing and changing as we speak. And Ben Franklin, they asked Ben Franklin if he had any wishes. Of course, it wasn't always old. It's funny how you stuff. History always shows you a certain way. Franklin's always pictured in his 80s. But he did say, you know, if there's one thing I'd like to, if I could come back in 200 years, just because I'm curious, as a scientist, of course, and just to see what's there. Could you imagine if you would come back in 200 years, if there's anything left, then it would certainly be a talk of your minds. I'd love to take your questions. Anything on your mind? Yes.
Yeah.
Sewell 22 West Drive, Margate, New Jersey. County Executive, let me be the first to congratulate you on your landslide victory on November 5th. Once reelected, I bid you to continue to be proactive rather than reactive, especially in the following three areas. Number one, impose upon the county school superintendent to get spendthrift school districts like Margate to abide by the constitutional requirement in the New Jersey Constitution for a thorough and efficient education, and not to continue to fail all seven indices of efficiency. Also make all school districts acutely aware of Gary Stein's Latino Coalition and Latino Action Network case in Superior Court that promises to be a real game changer. Number two, revisit and address the pilot program, SNAFU, in Atlantic City. Please get Senator Chris Brown to introduce legislation specifically granting Atlantic County standing in any and all revals. Casino revals must be done in a fail-safe, professional manner. Insist upon three top commercial reval companies to be retained. Recall the Borgata caper, where as soon as the pilot was passed, Borgata sold a small piece, 50%, to MGM for $1 billion.
$900 million, but who's counting?
All right. Lastly, press Senator Chris Brown to keep his promise to lift the deed restrictions imposed by Icon and others. The restrictions prevent the highest and best use of boardwalk casino properties like Showboat, Trump Plaza, and Atlantic Club. Thank you very much.
You're quite welcome.
Thank you.
Very astute.
Thank you, Don.
You have to wait for the answer, are you?
All questions have an answer. You must have a good one.
It's not going to be one you like, but it'll be the truth. The things that you ask me to do are not within my power. Now, I can ask Chris Brown to do these things. They're also not within his power. Here's what it comes down to. When this country was founded, our founding fathers gave us a system that governed close to the people. That's why you have four taxing entities: the federal government, the state government, the county government, the municipal government. They never promised us efficiency. And that's the unfortunate part. They might have done that, but the Constitutional Convention started in May of 1787 and ended in September, a very short period of time. And under those circumstances, they could do just so much. Imagine being dressed in your woolens if you're from New England, being shut up in a hot Philadelphia summer. You want to get the hell out of here. Let's get it done. That's why as you go on, each article gets smaller and smaller. The first, of course, the legislature is the longest one. That's the unfortunate part of that. Also, you have a very astute state senator in the minority party.
The reason George Washington did not go for a second term is because political parties were forming. And the founding fathers never envisioned something like that to occur, because they knew that was the worst thing that had happened in Britain, when political parties started to come in and people started to look at their own interests rather than their people's interests. That's why the person that won the most votes became president, and the person with the second amount was vice president. But who was going to figure that by the time John Adams, the second president, was president of the United States, his archenemy, Thomas Jefferson, was his vice president, undermining everything he was doing. So consequently, political parties started. And you need the type of seniority, and you need to be in the political majority to get those things done, unfortunately. And that's why we're in this quagmire. I would repeal that pile in a heartbeat. And if you don't think you were bamboozled, the total assessment for, he brought up Borgata. Thanks, Tom, for reminding me. Borgata is assessed for $875 million. As soon as the pilot passed, they couldn't be taxed anymore for 10 years. They sold a 50% share for $900 million, untaxed. Flip that again for $1.3 billion. Let me repeat that. Total assessment, $875 million. Sold 50%, a half share, for $900 million. Then immediately flip that for $1.3 billion. Untaxed. Now, as I tell everybody, these guys are smarter than us. You know, my dad could add in his head. Remember the days when the waitresses would give you a bill and it was all added up in pencil? I remember back that far. And he would always find a mistake. And my mother, we would be so embarrassed. Yeah. 50 cents. But, you know, well, 50 cents is 50 cents. So that was basically the conversation, you know. And, you know, you're in a situation right now where, yeah, it's these guys that run these casinos, you don't put $1 billion into a building or $2 billion in there without thinking of, I'm going to get a return for my money. They're smarter than the average bear. You know, one half of their brain works much more than the other half. They're calculators. They understand. And, you know, they're Meyer Manskys. And you know, how far would the mob have gotten without the guy with all the brain, the way he calculated? This is what you have now. And by the way, they're so smart. How come they can't figure out a way to assess the casinos in Atlantic City without a pilot? Every other gaming venue in the world can assess their properties correctly without a pilot. Only in Atlantic City you can't assess them, they need a pilot for 10 years. And by the way, if it wasn't for Chris Brown, it would have been 15 years. Thank you.
Thank you.
Kimberly Lane Vintner. I just want to expand a little bit on, is Stockton University going to be expanding? And like, what's the future there?
Well, that's a very good question for the county executive. And from what I know, the answer is yes. Do they have the money? That's another question. Are they going to come to us? Possibly. Is it going to be a good deal for the taxpayers? If it is, we would be interested in sitting down. You know, when you have a bonanza in town, which by the way, casino gaming was when it came here 40-some years ago, and the taxpayers were never protected. They allowed the speculators to come in and pick up property all over the city. You all know that, and it's sad, because they all wanted more for their money. They all went, oh, we've got to sell this and just pick it up. So you spent $50,000 for it, I want to have another. Well, that's sad. Now, in this section of Atlantic City, they're coming in there. You can see the smart money is coming in and buying up the property, figuring, gee whiz, look what happened in New Brunswick. Look what happens around every university town. The property values go up, so we're going to sit on it. So it's being sat on right now. Does Stockton wish to expand? Yes. Will they expand? Yes. When will they expand? I don't know. I do know that there is quite a few students that want to get into Atlantic City, and they feel pretty confident that they will be successful, but it's not happening right now. You know, they offered to buy the Atlantic Club next door. I wouldn't sell it. Well, how much more money do you want to make? And there was no number you could put on it. So that just sold to somebody else.
but that would have been an ideal property for them, even to buy the parking lot if it was available. But the answer is yes, they will. When, I don't know. Anybody else? You know, thank you so very much for your interest. Thank you for being here, and only a phone call away. I'm your employee. Just remember that. And I get so many calls from the office, and you know, people say, you know, I hate to bother you. Now, when was the last time you talked to an employee and said to them, oh, by the way, I hate to bother you? When was the last time the mayor said to you, okay, excuse me, I hate to bother you, but
never.
Exactly. You're not bothering me. I'm working for you. And under the circumstances, I'm your employee, and we are at your beck and call. My partner on the Freeholder Board, Amy Gatto, by the way this works, I don't want to sound condescending. In this form of government that we have, the executive form, the executive proposes, the Freeholder Board disposes, which means they basically have negative power. And that's the way it was set up. And it's set up extremely well. Providing you have people of goodwill. You don't have people of goodwill, no matter what the system is, everybody, it's not going to work. So with that,
thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry. We're just going to take a 3-minute recess. I have to go. Re-adjourn. Okay, so our two presentations are done, and I see we have some of our department heads here. So, and they're here. We're not doing department heads, no, but they're here. There's a lot of things on the agenda, and the individual department heads will speak on those items
as we get.
So. We do not have any minutes to approve tonight. We will have a introduction of the ordinance 2019-018, and that is chapter 102, development regulations.
Yes.
And that's building height. You want to talk about that?
Just to talk briefly about it. A year or so ago, we amended the ordinance to limit the height of flat roof structures to 28 feet. With that, the reason for that is we didn't want large structures going 35 feet in the air. When flat roof becomes a big monolith, so we tried to eliminate some of that. And it was working a little bit. Some of the newer homes that are coming into town are looking for a little bit of leeway, and the zoning board has granted probably 3 variances in the last 6 months to that 28-foot limit. And the reason they're looking at it is the homes aren't going to get hugely taller. The variances were between 1 and 2 feet of that 28 foot, maybe 3 feet, up to about 31 is what we're going to recommend. And where they're trying to get the space is not necessarily the building they get much taller, it's the interior space, the room height, the ceiling height in the first and second floor. They want to get to that 10 foot so they can make this a nice grand structure internally. It also creates on the beach block or the bay or even wherever you are, outstanding view of corridors out of the building and onto the beach. And so those were the arguments that the board was taking into consideration in granting those variances. So the recommendation was, why make them come in and get variances all the time if we're going to grant them? So the recommendation is to increase that height from 28 feet to 31. Which allows them from, we went out and we asked 3 different architects that do work in this area and talked to them about what they would, you know, what they would recommend, not 35. And also, this also continues to restrict that second floor, or if it even is a third floor, typically it's only 2. But it has to be stepped in. You can't be a straight wall going up 31 feet. That second floor has to step in, minimum of 5 feet. So what that does is it kind of creates a little more air, light, and open space in that neighborhood. You don't have a straight wall going up 31 feet in the air. There's some exceptions to that. Parapets are permitted to exceed that height by up to 12 inches. So that's just a little wall that goes up on top of that. allows them some architectural features. You just don't have a flat eave along the top of the building. Traditional chimneys are also permitted to exceed the 31-foot height limit by 3 feet. That's a code thing. They have to be certain above the roof line. What else is prohibited there would be any kind of third floor habitable floor space is prohibited. And as are any steps or stairways, either exterior or interior, roof-mounted mechanical equipment is also prohibited, so you don't have that projecting noise out into the neighborhood much higher in the air than at grade. So those are the three things, the four things we really change. And the planning board supported these.
Makes sense.
It might sound small, but from a construction standpoint and the perception that people are building, that 10-foot ceiling height in the main living space is a big deal.
Everybody wants it.
People really are disappointed when they have to work their HVAC around those sites. And so that's something that will actually, I think, get traction with vendors allowing.
So that's what we're proposing to amend. Thanks, Lisa. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Put your name right next to that. We do not have any public hearings or adoptions of ordinances. We do have a very long list of resolutions that we will be voting on by consent, but I'll go over some of them, and then I will pick some of them off to the department heads that are sitting here with us tonight. So, we have resolution 2019-292, all the way to 2019-297, and they are tax abatements. Then the next item is resolution 298, and that is a 159, and I'll give that to Al, if you want to just real quick, I know what it is, but for the people here.
Yeah, we received two awards for grants. One is from FEMA for fire assistance, $21,000. And the second is for the Drunk Driving Enforcement Fund to the county. It's a very large amount, it's $126,000, because money's been sitting there for 4 years and never been claimed. So it's claimed now with Captain Fuster and myself who claimed it, so it's all coming in. And I could buy it for like breathalyzers and checkpoints and things like that.
All right.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. And the second one that our CFO mentioned is resolution 2019-300. The next is 2019-299, and Maria, do you want to talk on this? This is the ESIP.
Correct. Yes, this is the energy saving improvement plan. If you may recall that the city partnered with the City of Margate, the Ventnor City School District, and Margate City School District to have a firm come in and analyze potential energy saving improvements for our building that might entail solar, it could be LED lighting, anything that's going to be better way to procure energy and also save all those entities money. So the first step is to hire the company that will do the analysis and come up with a plan, and you'll see the recommendation in your package to go with DCO Energy, which is a well-known area local company. And the financing in regards to that also was the more preferred of the two companies that proposed. There was a team, including our consultant, Jim Ritala, who and our engineers who went through the proposal and made the selection.
Any questions,
Mr.? Nope. I've been involved with Jim in that process. So.
Yeah, I think Lance may have been the better person to talk about it than me. But
all the right points.
Thank you.
So I give you a term tonight.
Thank you.
You're welcome. The next is resolution 2019-301, and I'm going to pass this off to our superintendent of public works slash engineer. This is Melbourne Avenue, Ventnor Avenue, with fire hydrant.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. This is a proposal to install fire hydrant at the intersection of Melbourne Avenue and Ventnor Avenue. We solicited three proposals. The low proposal was from Lafayette Utility Construction in the amount of $12,980.
And the next one is resolution 2019-302, and that is replacement of the sanitary sewer lateral Cornwall Avenue. You want to just real quick?
Same thing there. We solicited proposals, three proposals to replace the sanitary sewer lateral. We have problems at that lateral, 30 feet beyond the means of our equipment. The low proposal is from Lapid Utility Construction in the amount of $9,457.
Next resolution, 2019-303. It's a resolution to the Ventnor to review, confirming the review and completion of our best practice inventory report, calendar year 2019, state fiscal year 2020. We're going to pass that to the TFO to just give us a quick briefing on that.
Okay, they changed the state changed its best practices this year, so it's now inputted on their FAST system, which, and it's a different scoring criteria than it was in prior years. The highest score this year would be a 40. In Ventnor, with ours is like a 37, so we definitely passed. Minimum is 30, so we're well aware. So I just had to present to the council so I can submit it by the 30th of October.
Great. Thank you. Next is resolution 2019-304. This I'm going to give to Ed again. This is the plan specification for Winchester Avenue drainage.
Yes, Mayor, this is authorization to allow the bid for the Winchester Avenue Drainage Project, which is the intersection of Washington and Winchester, that entire block, and also the New Haven and Winchester.
Sorry.
And also New Haven and Winchester adjacent to the fire.
Thank you.
There will be some very happy neighbors in that neighborhood.
It's been a long time coming.
It's been a long time coming.
Thank you. Ed, you're still up for resolution 2019-305. That is the Marshall Avenue and Oxford Avenue drainage project.
Yes, Mayor. Very similar resolution authorizing us to go out to bid for the drainage improvements at Marshall and Oxford, which is adjacent to the Waterview apartment complex.
We'll be happy to. Yes, we'll have a lot of happy people there as well.
That's a real problematic area, and this will help their on-site issues as well.
Right.
It's kind of a partnership between us and them a little bit. More us than them, but
more us.
But it's a significant problem.
Yeah. The next resolution is 2019-306. This is appointing one of the one of your employees with the several titles of the different work he does. Correct?
That is correct.
Parking meter collection, parking meter repair, etc.
Yes.
Okay. Next is resolution 2019-307, and that is a resolution appointing Thomas M. Halpin Jr. to our fire lieutenant in the Ventnor City Fire Department. Did you want to say anything on that, Chief? You're good?
The promotion just fills an open slot for an officer. It's been open since 2017. He's done an excellent job of fire prevention appointing. He's well deserved.
I agree.
And you too.
Agreed. Absolutely. Great fit for that.
Yes. Okay, the next is resolution 2019-308, and that is a resolution for us to appoint a professional service contract for human services / personnel consultant, and that is for the person we hired, she came on early after the new year, right?
Cynthia retired from the state as a civil service expert.
Another 6 months.
And, right, it was only for a 6 month period, and we're renewing it for another 6 month period.
She's been an asset.
She has been. Mm-hmm. She's a wealth of knowledge.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, she is. For sure.
So probably more in your department than mine so far.
Yeah, we had, so Public Works, we had a lot of guys doing a lot of different things. You just saw one of the things being changed tonight. I'm sorry. We're getting a code red.
If you're
in the heights, you might be swimming home.
So we're stuck here, too. Al, you're stuck here.
I should have left earlier.
I apologize for going off. I thought that was off, but this is a new phone and it's causing me to. So use the expressway and
I don't know where you go from there. You're going all around.
I'm just going to stay here on this side of the fridge until it opens.
The deck will be open tonight. We'll be having cocktails and all that.
There you go.
So yeah, she's been a real asset for Public Works. A lot of guys do different things. This will end up saving us dollars by getting them in the right title,
right,
doing the jobs that they've been doing, and they've been getting paid extra for it. So now we're getting the right title.
Right, because the contract, union contract, yes. They get paid 8% over their hourly wage when they're working out a title. And some of these gentlemen do a great job, but they've worked out a title for years. So this is getting them in the right title, yes, for the right salary, which is less than 8%.
Year after year.
And they want to change it. They're paid less, but they want to be in the right title at the right salary also.
And she's been a great help doing that. Yeah. She really has been. So she's
retired from.
We are a civil service city, which is very, has a lot of different rules and regs that are very specific and particular, and you got to follow them to the C.
Yeah.
And she worked in the state civil service department of labor civil service for 30 years before she
So she's going to be doing the whole city, including the office personnel.
Great.
Next, Ed, is the next three are yours. The first one is 2019-309. That is,
Ed. Madam, this is a resolution authorizing us to go out to bid for the event of your restaurant construction. I got it all. That would authorize the architect, Scotch Architect, and Kathy Marrington, and myself, Teresa, to put together the specifications.
Wonderful. That's another long overdue project.
And we've been working through Ed and Sash and Dorn, I think, right? Getting the permits together for that. We're kind of running these two processes simultaneously. So the EP has been, rephrase that,
challenge. I don't think
so. No. We're at a point now where we all agree.
Oh, good.
When we first submitted, there was a lot of pushback. What are you doing putting a restroom out there? Well, we've been one there for 60, 70 years, forever. So they finally get that now. So now it's just a general permit, which is very simple to get. So we're hoping that gets issued soon. In the meantime, we're going out and get things moving.
Great.
So.
Okay. And another one, 2019-310. Ed, another one that's exciting.
Yes, Mayor, this is a resolution authorizing us to advertise for bid for the construction of the Memphis Lifeguard Headquarters Building.
Another one.
That authorizes Bill McQueen, the architect, Kathy Anderson, and I.
Great.
The other specification.
It's a busy.
Also needed. Mm-hmm. If you've been in the building, it's aged quite a bit.
That's my beat.
Almost like standing outside when you're inside.
I know. That's where I go. Okay, next is 2019-311. That is the commission accepting the resignation of Mark McBurke Jr. The next is 2019-312, and that is appointing members to the planning board. So Lance, you want to just
the up thing
we did?
So what we had one gentleman, Len Wardell, resigned. He's going to be a part-time resident. Len was a great member of the planning board for quite a long time. He's been there before we were here. He's going to spend a lot more time in Florida. He likes to fish, so he's going to be down there in the colder weather.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That's
anything. But he went from here. So with his resignation, we had a full-time spot on the board. And a board member, your appointment, Mike Wiesen, that we put on back on the board. We're going to move him into Len's spot. I think you guys are okay with that. Mm-hmm. It gets him so he doesn't have to recuse himself, because as he sits in your seat, he's the mayor's designee. So anytime there's a use variance application, myself and he have to step off the board and let the rest of the board make those decisions. Appropriately so. This puts Mike into a full-time spot. He's a great board member, great advocate for our city, understands the planning process and use him in our city. He's a business owner here, so he gets that. And that would allow you to appoint Mr. Creedwell
as my designee.
As your designee.
And Mr. Kriebel has sat on the zoning board in the past. He's got a construction background, so also a good asset to our board. And I think this will really set us up for the board does great things now, and I think it will be better with that layout.
I agree. Okay. Good?
Yes.
Happy. The next is resolution 2019-313, and that is us appointing the members to the rec board. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Anything with that? Any discussion on that?
I don't think so. Oh, it's just one.
Yeah.
She's reappointing Claudia.
Yeah, Claudia. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. The appointee would be Claudia Vina.
Claudia Vina, yes. She, I know she plays a key role, and she participates in all the events. She's not one of those board members. So I think
that comes with that last name.
It does. You're right. It does come with the last name. Yes.
Michael
they, the same. Yes. They are very community oriented, so I think she's good. The next is 2019-314. Is this, I have your name next to it? This is purchasing 20 fire hydrants.
Yes, Mayor. Does Ernie just allow this to continue? I'm sorry.
Ernie?
Yes. Continuing to work with the fire department and to preserve what we're following. We are replacing fire hydrants in the city. We're striving to make the system much better, and this is a purchase of strategic scale.
Great. Thank you, Ernie.
Thanks, Ernie.
The next one is 2019-315. I have that down for, I have UA. That is that nice big truck that we're going to get, right?
It is Mayor.
The Vector?
It's amending the ordinance to name the proper vendor.
Okay.
Which is Super Product LLC instead of Piedmont.
It's the same truck, but the co-op requires us to buy it through the Super Products LLC. And we chose DeHart because they were part of that co-op as well as their location.
Okay.
Price too.
Right.
But their location is close by. So if there's issues with knowing this equipment, there's always issues.
Okay. The next is resolution 2019-316, and this is, I'm going to give this to Al, this is
Crawford,
Burton County?
Yeah, we're doing this co-op basically because we can get better deals on police cars, and this is in these vehicles, and by doing the co-op, it allows us to do that on a rate state contract.
Great. Okay, sounds good. The next is 2019-317, and this one I have your name. This has to do with insertion valves, Baton Rouge Avenue, Vector,
This is award of contract to Garrison Enterprises in the amount of $11,530 to install two insertion valves. So this is in our water system. Where we do not have a valve, water valve that would isolate the main and give us control. We have to replace the fire hydrant at each location by installing an insertion valve and being isolated the main and replace the fire hydrant without putting homes out of service.
We've seen hit just about every neighborhood in Becker with this agenda, am I right?
We are trying to do these come on the list that Ernie and the fire chief have put together.
I mean, all the projects are going from what it seems like we've hit every little segment of Becker.
Right.
That's what I was. Next, 2019-318 all the way to 20-19-320. Those three are tax abatements. Again. The next is 2019-321, and I have that listed under UA as a repair. I think it's the repair of Vetner Shopping Center sanitary system. Ernie?
In effort to continue with keeping the repairs going on the system, that's what this is for.
Okay. Thank you.
Ernie, did this already happen, or is this...
It's an existing problem.
We know it's a problem. We're going to go fix it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A lot of times we get these emergency repairs after the fact. This one's a little bit.
This says not exceed yet. We should be okay with this one. The next is 2019-322, and I have you here again for that. That is talking about the engineering services, planning design, Dorset Avenue, Wellington, to Burke. That is, I basically said it.
This is an awarded contract for engineering design services to Duran Engineering.